Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Reno's in, you heard it. Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island. Fantastic sports bar, fantastic sports book, independent sports book. So they do what they want. They can post what they want. Basically, you can develop, you play a lot, you develop relationships with Tony Neville and the Burbs, who's coming up, Patrick Berbert. The kiosks are open 24/7.
Did you create the Burbs, or is that something he goes by?
I think he might go by it. You got my point, right? Because I only had like a minute to make the point about I really enjoy seeing sports media people when they talk about women's sports, like the WNBA, not pulling punches, because I don't think that's happened up until recently. And you just read a tweet that was amazing, that there's someone out there saying that the WNBA and the NBA are failing Caitlin Clark by basically not letting her light up the league. Yeah. And I'm like, that is, what an insult to women's sports.
Why are they covering her?
Yeah. But you get my point, right? On the whole, you know, you've arrived when you are covered with oftentimes the same criticism and sometimes viciousness,
yes,
that men's sports get. And then you get the adulation as well when you're good.
Yeah, and I think it's also a process of the athletes getting to that point, because
it's hard, man. They're not used to it.
Yeah.
You know, it's no coverage, or it's and I'm not trying to insult anyone, but for a lot of years it's like pat on the head and you go, girl. Yay, yeah. Nice effort. Like, that's insulting.
And fans too. And I think part of it is, you know, female athletes haven't dealt with a lot of media attention, and when they have, it's been, as you said, like, hey, great job. And they see all the attention that the NFL gets or the NBA gets. Like, we want that. Okay. But look what the actual attention is.
I'll say it a million times. It broke Ronda Rousey.
Dude, she's lost it again this week.
Why? What's going on?
She's doing a media tour. She broke down crying.
Oh, no.
Saying that the MMA media was always against her, and that all she wants to do is go watch a fight and enjoy it, and, you know, be like every other former athlete that gets to go to an event and enjoy themselves after their career is over. But the MMA media has poisoned everybody so much
that she'd
get booed.
She's not seeing the other side. There are many people who really like her, and she's also – she doesn't remember her rise up. She was treated like gold.
Yeah.
I mean, we did interviews with her. It was like there was nothing negative. Like, you're awesome. You're intimidating. Yeah. You know, you're a killer. But all that gets washed out. It's tough, man. But here's the thing with Ronda, and this is a conversation I will always refer to. She also, kind of in a way that Angel Reese has done, like, she enjoyed being the bully. There were fights where she beat someone down and then basically was like, F you. And that's a role you're taking and embracing. At some point, that's going to turn. You don't think there's repercussions to that?
Yeah,
you don't think there are people lining up to go, hey, you know what, I'm tuning in. I'm just tuning in to see Ronda Rousey lose.
Yeah.
But you enjoyed the spoils of that and the money of being the villain. You didn't know that what was going to come back at some point?
Yeah. And also, like, you know, and I will say I had a pretty good relationship with Ronda, but there were people in the media that she treated poorly.
Oh, is that right?
And then, well, I'm not even going to say poorly, but there was some of that same persona that she had outside. She would kind of come after people and, you know, in interviews, and then she would, you know, she got to a point where she was not doing a whole lot of interviews and turning a lot of people down and short answering people and that sort of thing. And then at that point, like, how do you want them to respond to you? If you're saying they're being negative, like, are they? And I don't think the MMA media is ever particularly negative to her. If she were to get booed, that's what she said.
The MMA media.
She can't go to a fight because the MMA media has poisoned everybody to the point that she would get booed if she attended.
There's like four or five of you guys who've been around for a long time. The rest are pretty friendly to the sport because they want to keep their access. And this is not digging on anyone. There's not really a lot of super critical voices that anyone cares about.
I mean,
it's buffoons on the internet and social media who, a lot of them, have just faded into obscurity.
Of course. And
I don't mean that in a bad way.
And how would she, by the way, how would she know if she gets booed? Is it the MMA media, or is it the fact that you said Sandy Hook didn't happen? Like, which one of those things are people booing you for?
I don't even know. I forgot that she was a truther.
Yeah. So which one are you getting booed for? Is it because the MMA media wrote something bad about you at some point? Yeah. By the way, the fans at UFC events hate the MMA media. So what are you even talking about?
That's a good point. That's a real good point. All right, Big Five time.
Battle Born Injury Lawyers presents the Big Four at Four. Number four.
That was a throwback to a bygone era. No more Big Five anymore. We don't have time for it. Barely have time for Big Four today after the follow-up there with WNBA and Rousey. I think it's a really cool story, and I appreciate anyone who is an athlete, wants to keep competing, wants to take advantage of their eligibility, and can also compete across multiple platforms. Tyler Buchner, you've heard the name before because he's a quarterback in college football, but he's also a lacrosse player. He's bounced between Notre Dame and Alabama. He's
playing football at Notre Dame, starting quarterback,
yep.
Transferred to Alabama, transferred back to Notre Dame to be a lacrosse player.
Last year.
Just finished up their season as a national champs, and now he's like, you know what, I'm going back to football, so I'm going to go play football again at Notre Dame as a walk-on receiver after being the starting quarterback his last time at Notre Dame.
Cool.
And he's still going to play. I think he's only a junior in lacrosse, so he has another season of lacrosse left in.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Good for him. All right, number three.
Number three.
I'm going to admit I haven't latched onto this. I know we have to do it. We always exchange stories with most of our guests. Hey, what do you want to talk about? And I just say, hey, we're talking about this. But that's not the way it works. But the other day, Caleb Herring sent over. He's like, hey, EA football. And I haven't latched onto it because you guys are just different.
Yeah.
It's not to say it's a different era. I just was not a video gamer, and I don't want to really date myself by saying, I actually connected on it might have been episode 2 of Dynasty on Apple TV, the whole Brady, Patriots, Belichick thing, because, God, I can't remember, the first roommate of Brady in the NFL was we would play Tech Mobile, and Tom Brady was just an ass, how competitive he was, and I thought back to my days, and that's my connection, that game is my connection. You guys are just different, and the return of college football back after how many years?
Didn't you try to play me in Tech Mobile? I feel like that didn't go well.
I think it went fine.
By the way, I didn't pull the, because
that was one of the things that Brady, his roommate, said. If it wasn't going well, Brady would slam something so the game would reset.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it went fine at Insert Coins.
I don't think so.
I think the Jerry Ball defense where I would have sacked you 62 times in one game, I think that was outlawed.
It is outlawed by anybody that is actually a Tecmo player. They always ban it. it's a glitch in the game. But I ran into Chris from Insert Coins actually
Good.
This weekend.
Good.
Got some new projects going, so I'm excited for that. Yeah.
EA football.
I'm fired up.
July 19th, and today I saw some 5-minute deep dive on the gameplay.
Oh, believe me. It was sent to me by 10 different people. People are very fired up for this. I said on the show I may buy a system because I got rid of mine because of it just took too much time and I got way too into some games. I may repurchase a system to get this. I'm so excited for this game coming back. And I actually was very much a part of the I don't know if you saw the Twitter thread going around last week. It was, what do you do on your first play back in the game? And a lot of people said you take a delay a game, out of respect to the game. First play, you take a delay. This game has been gone
out
for...
Out of respect for the game.
Yeah.
I don't want to start. I want to savor this moment.
Yeah, and then some other people said you just take a knee. First play, just take a knee.
In right, protest or a celebration?
In. Kind of celebrate. We're back in.
Okay.
This is how we're getting back into things. A lot of people just saying you got to go halfback dive, yeah. The staple. Many, many people said you just go all go routes. Just chuck one deep. So basically a Hail Mary first play. There's a lot of different ways to approach the first play, but it is such a part of so many of our existence growing up that this is such a moment. And of course, it went away because of what NIL has solved. There was a time when they said, hey, look, this game's very successful, but we're using all these players' likenesses and not their names. We're not paying them. A lawsuit is coming. This is going away. And now it's back because NIL has taken hold. It's such a big moment for so many people that grew up on video games. It's going to be awesome. There's no way it could be back.
When you get into the game, aside from the first play, is the first thing you do try to play a season with your favorite school? Is there a dynasty thing where you can create your own player?
And recruit? The recruiting is one of the greatest things on that game. You gotta go check out the high school players, evaluate them, bring them in. Oh, it's so great. I did many seasons where I never played a game.
You just love the offseason.
You're recruiting, you're managing the roster, and then you simulate the game. Just make sure your team's really good. Let it simulate through. And by the way, the correct answer on first play, you put in a very fast defensive back and run speed option to the right, wide side of the field.
Please tell me in the probably several conversations we have on Cofield and Company with Barry Odom, that you reference something as something you did in EA college football and like relate it to real life. Like, that reminds me of the season I had with so-and-so and EA.
I'll go one step further.
What's it like when you're sitting on the couch with a recruit and the mom gives you a pie that sucks?
I'll go one step further. I will vow right now that I'll get the game. I'll play the first game of the season against Houston like 10 times, and I'll give them a scouting report on what works.
Oh, my God. Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'll do it.
That'd be great.
It'll be great.
All right, next up.
Number two.
A reminder, we're here at Treasure Island. You got free parking out back. You don't get that on the Strip.
No, you don't.
As soon as you walk in the building, come down the escalators. Mystera's right there. 30 years at TI, longest running Cirque show on the Strip. Also, where Hayden was a dancer. I don't know if she's still doing it, but she's connected to that Cirque Mystera.
Has Joey been here?
Joey, I don't know if Joey Gallo's been here. And of course, also, we want you to check out the whole property, but also right adjacent to the escalators after you park for free is the Cove Barn Arcade. Arcade games, activities, duck pin bowling, state-of-the-art golf simulator, which has like, I think it was like 40 different games on there.
Yeah.
It's awesome. So go check that out. One of the new activities you can take part in here at TI. All right, I'm going to jump right to the top story. I don't need a number. Because I want to carry this over. So I heard the other day that Mike Tomlin had sort of addressed the story that came out with, was it Jalen Warren who said,
Justin Fields might run back kicks.
And that created a fury for like 3 days. Tomlin came back and said, we're not doing that. Because here's the thing. I think at practice, their ideas exchanged or things tried. It doesn't mean that that's going to be set in stone. This one's interesting, though. Dave Taub is a really highly acclaimed special teams coach, right? Like top five in the league with the Chiefs. There was word that because of the new setup where everyone's kind of bunched together and they're just crunching pads, not from a distance, but it's going to be real physical, that they may not use Butker on kickoffs now.
Well, the kickoff guy becomes a very, very valuable tackler on special teams now, which is an unintended consequence of the rule, but it's something that a lot of teams are thinking of. And I can assure you that the Raiders are thinking about this. And I mentioned the other day, I think there's things I can and can't say about what the Raiders are trying. They're trying everything. They're experimenting with everything. They're trying to figure out how to make the kickoff, where to place the kickoff, if they're going to bounce it, if they're going to pop it way high in the air, which you're not going to do.
I assume that Max Crosby has already said, I will do the kickoffs.
No. No.
But to that point, the Chiefs story mentioned safety Justin Reed as being a
makes
guy who might do it. Might
makes,
be the kickoff guy.
Makes total sense. If you have a kickoff guy that can tackle, it's going to be very, very valuable because that's the one guy that's kind of free. He can't cross the 50-yard line but until the ball touches. But he can be like that last line of defense. And if you've got 10 guys on 10 guys blocking, you've got that free tackler that can go make a play. And if he can actually tackle, unlike a kicker, it's going to be big. And by the way, what you don't want if you're the Chiefs is Harrison Butker trying to make tackles. Like, he's too valuable as a kicker. So you don't want him doing that. I mean, luckily he's got somebody at home to take care of everything he needs to at home, because that's the most important thing in the world.
I was waiting for some reference. I had one as well, but
sure.
You got it.
But for real, they don't want him tackling, so I think this makes sense.
Hanging at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island, it's Cofield and Company.
I'm so glad we were able to get a shot in there. Harrison Butker, or as TikTok, a lot of the females have now resorted to calling him Harrison Butt Licker, which is not nice.
It's not even nice funny, at all. Really. It's not that clever.
So he might not be on kickoffs in the new kickoff format for the Chiefs.
No,
you may see a lot of position players doing the kickoffs.
I think it's possible, and I think there's definitely just there's a lot of things going on. And talking to some people around the Raiders special teams, they're going to be evolving throughout the season. Like, I think it'll be different week to week.
This is a godsend for you.
Oh, it's the best.
You have to be the number one NFL writer in the world when it comes to your affection for special teams and the kickers. You love it.
Yeah. I mean, I Yes, every day. I mean, the rest of the media contingent calls me the special teams SID.
Yes.
Because, like, you have to go through me to talk to anybody on special teams because I'm just always over there.
Hey, do you mind if we cut in here like a dance? I want to talk to A.J. Cole.
Like, not today.
Not right now.
Sometimes I'm like, not today. He's not feeling well.
I think he's going to have time on Thursday.
Yeah. It's happened. It's happened before.
I don't know.
Has to go lift.
We know on this show, and I promise I don't do all the staffing, but who made the joke? I think Petro in Kansas City may have made the joke that my only goal in radio is to make sure there are people bigger than me because it slims me down.
Yeah.
Now, we've gotten thinner as a show over the years. I've always been just fascinated with just the biggin, like big fella, big women, not that way, but just like just the large heads, giant legs. Just I'm just into it. And this is now crossed over. Now, I know it's weird. It's now crossed over to when in my coverage at practice of UNLV, I swear I will take notes and I'm like, oh my God, this is the number three guard. He's in the rotation at the ones. Breaking news. And it's like, I found out last year, and Barry Odom told me and others told me a million times, we rotate. Yeah. We want to have everyone ready. So, like, don't freaking
just
get
in
all...
Just in case it happens in a game.
Oh, I mean, I know in, like, day three of fall practice, they'll... Because I swear to God, I can't remember his name right now. They have a center that is a center guard out of Kansas or Missouri. A big blonde kid. He's big. And, you know, he's probably got to trim down a little bit. He's, like, 320. And I swear the first time I see him in there is, like, the number two center. I'm going to be like, oh, my God!
Yeah, you know, because people freak out about
that. It's ridiculous.
People freak out about the Raiders beat all the time, and then fans start freaking out because they see somebody talk about it. But if you think about it, like, obviously they have to rotate. If you have a third-string guard who has never played with any of the first stringers,
right?
You can't just throw them in a game and be like, hey, here, go play with these guys.
I get so excited.
So, like, they have to rotate and have everybody
Dude, I saw the number two, left tackle, rotating in at number one. Right guard or left guard, in for Alani Makaeli. I had that story! And then Makaeli, he left like 2 weeks later to go to... Not 2 weeks later, but he left pretty quickly, and then he decided to go to UCLA. I was on that. Doing sidelines for UNLV football, they ran a heavy package probably about seven games in where they have two offensive linemen surrounding a tight end. They'll have it on one side or the other. And I was like running up and down the sidelines. Like
running?
Okay, I walked really quick. No, it was at Allegiant. The AC was cranking.
Okay.
But I called upstairs, and I'm like, oh, my God, look at the heavy package.
Settle down.
They got a second lineman on the left side.
Although that was
6'7", 320.
That was me charting hang time on punts at my first training camp.
Such an idiot. Okay, I'm going
to
make a transition off of this. This is not my cup of tea, but this headline did get me. Khloe Kardashian says her camel toe disappeared when she lost weight.
Okay.
And then I sat there and I'm like, you know what? This moose knuckle I've had going for a long time, I got to lose weight. Okay, I didn't think that.
You probably did.
But did she really talk about the positioning of her jeans?
Believe me, I saw the
jeans, as Conway Twitty would say.
I can't answer your question because I saw the headline on Twitter like 38 times yesterday. I never clicked on it. Didn't care.
I was like, I don't really want to see. I don't remember.
And I'm not
happening.
Anti-Kardashian. I'm just like, okay.
I'm not anti-Cito, but yeah. I didn't want to see it.
Yeah, it's not. It just is what it is.
Okay.
And I would imagine, like, whatever surgery she's had allegedly,
there's extra level of surgery now.
Sure.
You can fix things. Okay, if that was offensive. Let me give you this one.
Okay.
I like to layer, before we get to something that you may find offensive and that other, I think, folks with faux outrage reacted to this week. You and I have talked often about hashtag too soon. And that is when someone passes away, maybe everything about them is not glorious. It's not going to be some tribute. Right? When do you talk about it? I'll give you an example. Last Friday? And who was the supersized guy? What was his name again? Morgan something?
Spurlock.
Yeah, he passed away. And like within 3 minutes, Salerno's on the air. And he's like, this story's terrible. He's like, he lied about that whole thing. He was an alcoholic. that's why he was so unhealthy. Not fast food. I'm like, all right. I didn't know about it, but I was like, okay, no, I guess not too soon. He died this morning, and you're right on the air with it. I don't care.
No.
I've never cared.
I don't think there's such thing as too soon.
I mean, it sucks for the family to hear it, but I think they know about it. But there's always this
also,
rule.
Also, the family's not listening. Yeah. Is it too soon to go up to his brother and be like, oh, your brother was a jerk? Like, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Too soon.
All
is
right.
It too soon for us away from the situation? No.
We like Bill Walton. I'd never really heard anything negative about him. We talked about all the different tributes. We played an interview that we did with him. I thought he was a cool guy, had a zest for life, was nice, he was pleasant, he was upbeat. Not every experience goes like that. And so in Boston, that guy, Toucher?
Yeah.
Is it still Toucher and Rich? I didn't look up the show. But
I think so.
He's got an edge to him. I will say my objectivity on him is not there. Because he's one of several guys who's told Jim Gray, while sitting in front of him doing an interview, you know what? This sucks. Get up. Leave. And I so respect that.
I'm jealous of that.
So it's Bill Walton Day. And everyone's back on the air. He had passed away the day before. And the Boston radio station, this show, gets into it. And a caller is the one who started it.
Hey, Fred, most important thing you got to do today is you got to, in tribute to Bill Walton, you got to run back the clip many years ago when you hung up on him.
I think we address it, but I don't know that today's the day to play it.
Well, I don't know. I mean, why not? It happened. He called in and he was acting the fool about his son on the Lakers. And they said, oh, you know, first of all, you got to buy a Jeep Wrangler.
I'm looking over these mountains, Majesty. I remember that.
Yeah, but yeah. He was like, but while he was selling cars, like, make up your mind, you phony hippie.
All right. So one of the sites I dislike as much as any other site, because it's a gotcha site and they don't have any talent on the site that can actually do radio. And I don't think they understand live radio is live radio. And who are you to be the judge of what's right and wrong, what's outrageous and not? So, of course, they sent this out and they're like, oh, quite the eulogy. No, it was not a eulogy at all.
No.
It was not a eulogy at all. So Rich is still doing the show. That's on, is it on WBZ? And you can hear him being a little bit hesitant, like maybe today's not the day to play the call of us hanging up on Bill Walton. Keep going.
Are you really selling cars, or are you all about peace and love?
That's why I'm not sure if it's the day.
I think, Hardy, you might be onto something. I think today, maybe tomorrow.
I did famously hang up on Joe Walton. Bill Walton. I would like to know.
Walton, Pitino, and Flory are the grand trio, if I remember right.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Here it is. Just go ahead. He's dead. It's nothing. I didn't kill him.
It's like, play it. I'm not afraid of offending anyone. By the way, I don't think Toucher and Rich are still together. He's on 98. Yeah, whatever. He's on 98.5, so thanks to them. Okay.
Yeah, what's the problem? I don't see a problem.
Outrageous.
Yeah, he's not going to change. He had a certain opinion of Bill Walton as an individual.
Mm-hmm.
An incident happened between them. He's not going to change, but he's also saying, like, look, I'm also not going to dance on his grave today.
Well, his co-host is trying to have
him. He's trying to get him to.
No, I think his co-host. Oh, okay, he's using reverse psychology.
Yeah, I think so.
I might do that. Yeah. But anyone out there, a lot of people out there, you're not all as mean as us. There are people out there when someone passes away, their first thought is, oh my God, I feel so bad about that. Like, there are some people who are like, good.
Yeah.
Didn't like the person.
Yeah.
Is it mean? Yeah. Is it honest? Yes.
Yeah,
I'll admit, I'm not. I can't list the people. I could. If I sat down for 5 minutes, I could list 10 people where I would be like, I might not do it that day because I'm still a pansy.
Do not
bring them up because I have nothing. You know, we never.
One was mentioned already during the series.
We never addressed Bobby Knight dying because I was like, this is going to get ugly.
Yeah, you mentioned,
I will not
as
do
I
it.
Said, you mentioned one already in the segment. I won't care, and I won't pretend to care when he dies.
I know.
Like, but you don't have to, and you don't have to talk about somebody that died. And if somebody does and you're asked about them, you don't have to lie.
Here's more of this gross Boston radio host, Fred Toucher.
Where would you put this? Rank this game as in regards to the Celtic-Laker rivalry?
Over the years, I've learned to never rank coaches, concerts, children, championships, or congratulations. Just enjoy them all. And as a dad, that's what I'm about. Because even though I'm a Celtic, even though the Celtics gave me my life back 25 years ago, more importantly, I'm a dad. It's not about me. I want what's best for our son. And to see that.
All right. Well, you're rooting for the Lakers.
Goodbye. I'm not going to take a guest who's celebrating the team that just beat the Celtics. I mean, your kid's on the team. Congratulations.
That's not Theo Fleury, but it's close.
No, I mean.
So there you go. That was a roll call from years ago. He hung up on him. And then a little reaction afterwards. I guess he's, you know, he's hung up on people multiple times. Yeah. They have actually, in our studio, they've taken that ability out of our hands.
Yeah, we don't have that.
Because it would happen. And then there are particular people who've run the show before who would croak about it. Because there is a host relationship with the producer. You go out of your way to book someone, and then you hang up on the person in like 5 seconds. We're all on Cofield & Company here at Treasure Island.
Now, back to Cofield & Company on ESPN, Las Vegas, and ESPN, Reno.
And sitting next to the big guys, Adam Hill, Las Vegas Review Journal sports writer. He covers everything. I want to start here. Let's embarrass Adam a little bit. We met Adam now probably, I don't know, 6-7 years ago when we came in from L.A., to do a show at the South Point for Mad Dog, and Adam came on the show. You're a freaking natural. Like, I don't know why you're not on this network all the time. Every time I see or hear you, you're freaking tremendous.
God, I'm so jealous of Patrick Maher. He loves you.
I know.
Look at how uncomfortable he is right now. Look at how uncomfortable he is. That was VSIN yesterday. And then it's the open call to bosses. Hire him. Calling him out. He's like a Barkley. Didn't Barkley call the Warner Brothers Discovery CEO a moron?
Yeah. The whole everybody
Meyer was just short of that. He's like, I can't believe you don't work for us.
Yeah. I wasn't comfortable with it. I don't love hearing it again.
I was. I really enjoyed it because I knew you weren't comfortable.
Yeah.
But then you did open up. You were all about talking about your passion for writing and covering sports and your FOMO and fire this.
Can we talk about what it's like to cover all sports in a city like Las Vegas?
Yeah, I mean, if you don't want to have a life at all outside of sports and, like, doing appearances on radio and, you know, it's TV spots and writing and tweeting and blogging, it's a perfect job, really. I mean, if you don't want to have any other actual activities or life or social life, anything like that, it's perfect. I mean, you're always doing something, and you can do it how you want to, right? I mean, there are people that are able to cover a lot of things, and especially in Las Vegas, and still have a family and a life and all those things. And, like, they just shut it off. I just can't be that. Like, I have to be at everything. There's definitely FOMO involved of, like, wait, there's an event that I'm not at? Like, I have to be there.
Wow. There he is, the 2024 Nevada Sports Writer of the Year. Will never be the Nevada Sports Writer of the Year or the Broadcaster of the Year ever again.
Nope.
Can't happen. You've been disqualified.
Yep. It was a good run.
But it's, you know, a lot of it's because Adam cares too much, folks. I just want you to know that. He cares too much.
I don't know what that means.
You laid it on so thick about not having a life. And I understand your FOMO, and you do love, you have a life.
Well, it was more.
You're not as well-rounded as I'd like for our TV discussions, which I might have to get back to. The YouTube thing is throwing me off, but.
I know.
But I understand
you
your passion.
Start following weird couple YouTube channels.
I like Adam when he's being pumped up, and Patrick and Dustin over on VSiN are shooting the breeze with him. Keep going.
The UFC is at the Sphere the night before, and I was asked, "Hey, which one do you want to cover? You know, we kind of need you to be at both." And I said, "There's a red eye. Like, why are we deciding? So I'm going to cover the UFC at the Sphere, then jump on the 1 a.m. flight and
That's
get to Baltimore
insane.
And cover the Ravens game. Like, I was told at the beginning when I started my career, like, hey, if you want to actually cover sports, you have to leave. I didn't have to leave. I decided I liked Vegas more than I liked anything else, and I wanted to stay here. And then it's just grown so much where you can do everything. This weekend, as you know, you were mentioning, it's the offseason right now, right? Golden Knights are out of the playoffs. Raiders are in the offseason. They have OTAs. But there was a Street League skateboarding event. Over at the Apex, I was there, and then I had to leave quickly, finish my story, and get over to the WNBA game because Caitlin Clark was playing at Mandalay Bay. Like, there's always something going on here. It's the greatest city in the world to me, and now it's become the greatest sports city.
It is a wonderful story, and I hope there is a Lifetime special made about this.
About the city?
How about you?
That's ridiculous.
That was great. It's a good spot.
I mean, if, in your opinion, I guess.
No, well, it was. It was actually good. You had some really good stories. I didn't. Vast Sound Crew didn't pull a lot of the best stuff. Actually, if you want to listen to the whole interview, I'm going to tweet it out in a couple.
What? Listen to everything else, Vincent.
It was good.
To the rest of
it was
show.
Really good.
The rest of their show was awesome.
It was really good. And even for me, who understands, you know, your passion. And by the way, you were talking about a Ravens game back to back or following the Sphere UFC event. That is admirable. And very few people do that, but you love going to sporting events. You're everywhere. When I saw you at the Caitlin Clark Aces game on Saturday, I was like, what the hell is he doing here? All of a sudden, you popped up behind me at the press conference. I'm like, okay, he's here. He loves sports. He loves Las Vegas. And seriously, I can't do it. We should appreciate that he stuck it out with Vegas, everybody.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar inside Treasure Island on ESPN Las Vegas and ESPN Sports Reno.
Adam, I don't think you were looped in during the break, but Griffin, who's running the show today, wanted you to know that he gave you a little entrance music before the last block when we played the bite from VSiN with you and Maher and Dustin. It was actually the walkout music for Randy Couture, because you are the natural.
Okay.
Well, the natural media guy. There's a brilliance about you.
There is. I'm brilliant. I'm brilliant. I think that's fair for everyone.
Maybe it'll just be the days you're on. It'll be Cofield and the natural. I don't think it works well, but.
That sounds fine.
Okay.
I think the natural and Cofield is probably better.
Whoa. What's going on here? Yeah. Top billing.
The natural and company?
Not the company. All right. I like it. Anything could happen in radio. This the plug on the Cofield part could be just pulled. Patrick Berbert, who it's affectionate, right? Affectionately, when I tease him, I'm like, the Burbs is coming up. Is that bad? Do you not like Justin Bieber?
I don't hate it.
Yeah!
There you go.
Right, look at the smile.
Okay, clever.
Now I'm going to put you on the griddle, though, because it's my fault. I forgot to email you on this. We've got all these TVs here. I always say 55 plus because I went around and counted. For sportsbook people, the WNBA is on all these different channels. Can we get Ion?
It's hard to find.
We got to look into this. Because we are hardcore Aces fans. They're playing. They just tipped a couple minutes ago.
We had the Ion channel last year, and now it's blacked out.
Oh, come on!
Wow.
We have to look into that.
Oh, my God. This is disappointing. Yeah. That's what happens when they start. More popular sports got on these channels, and all of a sudden they get all froggy, and they're like, yeah, let's pay up. Yeah. By the way, this is another one, and again, I'm putting you on the spot. We've been talking about the fact that the NFL is going on like seven different channels. And I know sports bar people who are like, wait, what? I got to run what? How do I run Netflix? What's going to happen, man?
It's getting out of hand now. Everything's going to streaming.
Does Netflix come to you and they're like, $40,000 on Christmas. And you're like, wait, what?
I believe it. So basically, when you're in the package at home and at a commercial building like we're in, it's totally different, the whole pricing package.
Because they do capacity, right? Anticipated capacity?
And fire code occupancy as well.
Oh, that's it, yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, it can get a little pricey with that. It's not like, man, I could just log into my Netflix account here and stream it for everybody.
I think there are,
well,
I talked
you
to
could,
some,
you just can't tell anybody.
Right.
If we get caught, that's a big fine, though.
This is crazy. You think the NFL cares?
Nope. How much time do you actually have to spend doing? I mean, it is a serious thing, though, for not only you guys, for sports bars all over town. Like, it is something you have to plan for and be ready for. Like, how much of time gets taken away from booking to, like, somebody has to figure this out?
It does take away some of our time because now we have to start adding more Apple TV boxes and able to incorporate multiple TVs going at once for different games that could possibly be streaming at the same time.
Do you ever tell Tony Neville, who runs a book here, Tony? Risk supervisor, not TV supervisor. Someone else's job, Tone. You don't do that.
He likes us to be the jack of all trades. Okay.
Maybe I should get him in front of us and be like, lighten the load on the Burbs. Come on. All right. We're going to look at the college football in a couple different ways. At the end of the block here, a couple of games in week one. A lot of lines are out for week zero and week one. But Adam had a story today. If I'm correct, the Big Ten, by the middle of the season, the teams in the Big Ten were required in football to release some sort of injury report. It was 2 hours out, Adam, or an hour out?
I think it was like an hour. Yeah, maybe 90 minutes.
Okay. What do you think of the SEC doing it? Do you like that? Does it then give the player an advantage? If the SEC does this, good or bad for you guys?
Well, between the sports book and all the sports leagues going on, there's always been an integrity fee that the sports books have paid, but a lot of times there's not integrity with the leagues. They don't hold to it. So I think that this could be good for the sports book to be able to monitor all these injuries that are really going on in real time.
Yeah, I mean, the issue is how honest are they? Like, how much are they trying to hide still? Because they will still try to hide things. Like,
I feel like Utah was doing it last year early with Cam Rising.
He was questionable for the whole season until they finally declared him that he was going to sit for the year to come back this year.
And then we had the weird situation where we were at the, what the hell was the game called? Whatever the Arizona Bowl is that UNLV played Kansas. And there were rumors before the game that the backup quarterback, who was then the starter, that there was something wrong with him. And then he and I are sitting in the press box and on the field, like, we're looking like, is he warming up? He looks okay in warm up. But I think the line moved too. So, I mean, come on, it's big boy time. They're going to start selling corporate sponsors. There's more and more money coming in. So, I mean, I don't. Can we go as far as saying, "Hey, we want something NFL like"? Like, we want to know. We want to. When's the real nitty gritty report? Is what on Friday? Really?
Yeah, for sure. But the
do we need that for college football?
I mean, I think we do, but I think we need we need an enforcement mechanism too, because it needs to be honest. And you know, the thing is, there on college planes, oftentimes there are media people on the plane. So they know sometimes if players aren't traveling. If they know, other people know. So, like, let's make sure that everybody is on the same page of what the information is. All that they ask, and I'm speaking for Patrick in this case, I guess, everybody just wants everybody to have the same amount of information. Like, as long as everybody knows what's going on, everybody knows the information that's out there, everybody knows what is at least trending toward happening in a game, then it's all on the up and up. But if there's some people that know information and others don't, that's when there's issues. So, like, let's solve that. Let's be honest in injury reports and just put them out.
I agree. We got to. It's been a disaster these last couple of years, especially.
Yeah, there's been a few, especially in college, there's been a few games where, you know, quarterbacks were expected to play, and then all of a sudden last second, then you got to, they're out, line changes. All right. Well, we got plenty of time for the NBA Finals, right? We're going to know everything. Got a big rest here. What do you guys have posted for Celtics and Mavs? And I want to, what do you have posted first?
We're minus 220 on the Celtics for the series.
Okay. Do you agree with that number?
I mean, the Mavs kind of like eat my words this whole postseason. I really didn't think the Mavs were going to get this far. So, I mean, I want to say the Celtics here, but I don't know how healthy KP is. And that's a big part of that Celtics team right there. If he's healthy, I like the Celtics. But if not, the Mavs are alive here.
What do you think of the number?
Well, you know Luka's getting hurt, right? Every team that the Celtics have played, the other team's best player gets hurt. So Luka will be hurt in this series.
It's been crazy. So does that make the Celtics kind of a phony big favorite because they have caught some breaks along the way with guys going down?
The Celtics have been the best team all season long. So I wouldn't be surprised at the end of this series if the Celtics come out on top. I think they're a great overall around team.
I sent you a tweet from an info guy from another book who had the – boy, the Mavs is a dog. They're coming out a dog in game one. 6-1 ATS is a dog. Like you said earlier, we just, you know, there's been a lot of misreading of the Mavs. So is that a big enough sample size to go and grab the plus points in game one against the Celtics?
The numbers say it's there this postseason, but now you're against a different team here. I mean, the T-Wolves, they were a young team, and I don't think they're going to do much in the offseason. They're going to just need to bring their experience back. And then the Mavs also went against a young team in the Thunder. You know, now they're going up against the big boys with the Celtics, who have been around for a few years and are trying to finally get the job done.
What should we do for MVP of the finals? Pretty good candidates.
Yeah, there is.
Absolutely. But, I mean, if you're going with the Celtics as the favorite for the series, I'm going to say Tatum. You got to make him as the favorite.
Yeah, I mean,
do you have to bet him? That's the question. Yeah. Right? I mean, Jaylen Brown's right there with him. What would you do?
Well, I'm not going to be making an MVP bet, but I mean, I think, you know, if you're betting, like, if you're betting Mavericks to win the series, I think you're probably betting Luka to win the MVP instead, depending on what that number is. I don't know if it's a better number than it is for the Mavericks to win the series, but that would be the direction I would go. Celtics, It is tough. I think Tatum would be the right choice. I don't know that he was necessarily the most valuable player in the last series, and I think he got it anyway, if I'm not mistaken.
Jaylen Brown.
Brown got it. But I thought, like, even Brown, or Derek Brown, I think, could have been considered the guy. So it's tough. I mean, I think he's the most likely way to go. I'm certainly not betting an MVP on the Celtics side, and I do think the Celtics are going to win. I just don't think there's a clear-cut guy that provides value on that side to win the MVP.
We get to June tomorrow, and week one games in college football, lots of them are out. NFL for sure. You have some games in the NFL that you're getting some action on early?
Yeah, we've actually got a lot of action for it. Money's coming in heavy on the Lions so far for us. This is a rematch of last year's NFC playoffs between the Rams and the Lions, and people are really high on the Lions, especially, you know, they think they're one of the best teams in the NFC. They had their letdown against the 49ers in the NFC Championship game, and a lot of people think the Lions are going to run it back. We're pretty lopsided on the Lions to start so far.
Adam?
I mean, I know why people are betting the Lions. I just don't know. I mean, there's so many unknowns still for me on a lot of different teams, and there's things.
Why are people betting the Lions?
Well, we saw what they did last year, how they finished the year.
Right. So frustration.
Yeah, that's a big part of it.
You got your quarterback going against his old team that gave up on him.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not betting games this early. I love watching the lines and seeing where people are putting their money and what they're investing in and that sort of thing. I love following it. I don't love having individual – I don't mind futures in that way, but, like, having money tied up on an individual game this far out is rough. I just love watching the market and seeing where it goes. And if you do see something that you believe is going to be – a big advantage, then yeah, I would absolutely pounce all over it. That's the time I would do it.
By the way, very important as a tool. It's not the ultimate, but save all these numbers so that, say, it's week 6 or 7 and you look back to May or the beginning of June, you're like, whoa, like what has changed that swung this a touchdown or 4 points? It's a great reference point.
Absolutely, Steve. And you're going to even see it by week 2. After week 1 happens, the overreactions are going to go crazy.
Yeah. All right. What do we think of Raiders +3 at the Chargers?
That's a tough one, you know.
Who's playing quarterback? Who's playing quarterback?
For which team?
Raiders.
Chargers. I mean,
Raiders.
Chargers.
We know Chargers.
Herbie,
Herbie, yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to go O'Connell, but this is a tough game. Harbaugh, he's overturned that roster. There's a lot of uncertainty there, what he's really doing. He might be trying to build a Michigan-style offense, like heavy, like offensive line, run the ball down his team's throats, and then give – Herbert an opportunity to have a lot of open receivers with the run game working. So it's going to be really interesting. That's a tough game right now, but with the hook, I'm probably going to go the Raiders here with the Chargers having a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah, and usually a lot of Raiders fans are making that a home game too. I do want to get to ask them real quick, changing subjects a little, but tomorrow, one of the biggest matches in the world, one of the most important matches that people should care about, Champions League final is tomorrow. How much action do you expect people to be playing on that?
Oh, well, when I was looking at my my game center this morning, it was pretty much our most bet soccer game we've had all year
long.
Who's
playing?
So,
Madrid and Dortmund. Okay. Borussia Dortmund.
So we always have a really good soccer crowd here in the morning, so I wouldn't be surprised to see a lot of people coming here to watch that game, and our bet ticker really piling up tomorrow with a lot of action coming in on it.
Yeah, Madrid obviously a favorite in that spot.
I believe they're like -170.
Yeah, so I mean, I think it's gonna be a great match. Obviously, I think every year it's so much fun, but they're clearly a better side. But you just never know what's gonna happen in a match.
All right, Patrick, that went by fast. We're up against it. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
For
we'll
having
we'll
me.
Have a lot more time during the summer to talk NFL, and we'll get to college football week 1, which includes a game here, multiple games here. But we've got a big matchup with LSU and USC. We'll see what happens to the line, if anything, especially with the reports that USC tried to back out of the game multiple times. So I don't know if that means that Lincoln Riley's like, oh boy, we are going to get whacked. All right, we'll come back. Final hour here at the Golden Circle Sportsbook and Bar. Come on in. Got Major League Baseball, got NHL, got college baseball, full slate of stuff to watch here on all the TVs.